And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Hundreds of Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Woody, we need here on a Football Friday a little Ben Volen, senior NFL writer from the Boston Globe. Spent a lot of time down here in South Florida. Benny, good morning. How you doing?
You know, it's funny. I need a little Joe Rose in my morning here. So this is a good thing for us both, I think.
Hey Ben, I just want to let you know it was probably a good thing I didn't see you after that game. I wasn't feeling great, even though the Dolphins did win that game 15-10. It wasn't exactly you going, yes, we put it together. It just kind of didn't have that feel to it. What'd you think of the game overall?
You know, I'll tell you, it's obviously a very ugly game. That's going to happen when you have the Patriots, the worst team in the NFL, and the Dolphins starting a third-string quarterback. I was fairly impressed with the Dolphins, though, to come out of there with 372 total yards.
That's true.
193 on the ground. You know, I was impressed with Mike McDaniel. I thought he did a good job of running a lot of play action, a lot of misdirection, kind of come up with some creativity to move the ball when you're an offensively, you know, limited team,
yeah,
like the Dolphins were with Tyler Huntley. And you're not seeing that from the Patriots. That's been a very frustrating thing with watching them so far with this new offense with Jacoby Brissett and Alex Van Pelt. It's just been totally vanilla. They have the fewest play-action passes in the league. There's no trickery. There's nothing to push the ball downfield. You know, we'll see if that changes with Drake May moving forward. But I'll give the Dolphins credit to put up 372 yards with a limited offense,
yeah,
and to run the ball as well as they did. That was a good coaching job by the Dolphins.
No, they did run the ball well. You're right. Both Wright and Mostert had good games, and to balance it out just about yard for yard, 193, 194 from run to pass was good. So what do you expect from Drake May, man? You haven't seen action. That offensive line's not great right now in pass protection. What do you expect?
Yeah, not much, and not necessarily because Drake May can't play. You know, we'll see. But I don't think this team is set up for any quarterback to have success. And I mean, I'm including Tom Brady in that situation. No offensive line, no playmakers at wide receiver. Injuries are really starting to affect the team. The defense just got, you know, bulldozed by the Dolphins last week. The modern player on the offensive line, center David Andrews, he's out for the season. They have the most pressure of any team in the NFL this year. So it's a disastrous situation that Drake May is walking into. And unless he's Superman, it's going to be for him. They're not going to win games. He's not going to put up stats. And then we're going to go into the offseason being like, well, what did we learn about Drake May? Well, we're not really sure because we don't know if he can play because they have nothing around him. So
yeah, that's a tough one. Boy, that's a tough one to throw a guy into. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a multi-year rebuild for the Patriots. They need to really hit on some draft, to get some receivers. They don't have anyone, Joe, who can beat press coverage. They don't have anyone who can win a one-on-one matchup on the outside. This team is just not built for a rookie quarterback. So they're throwing him in there because, you know, the offense was stuck in neutral with Jacoby Brissett. But I don't have any real expectations for Drake May to play well just because I don't think they have anything around him right now.
I know you cover the AFC East, too, and I wanted to ask you about everything going on with the Jets, who look very dysfunctional right now with apparently Aaron Rodgers not knowing anything about what's going on. It's incredible how he didn't know anything, even though he talked to the owner the night before. It's amazing. What's your take on the Jets? They make Nathaniel Hackett is still the offensive coordinator in title, but has no power like an offensive coordinator. What do you expect it's going to look like Monday night against the Bills?
You know, I do think the Jets will probably benefit from the, you know, like the boost that you get from firing a coach. Usually, you know, quarterback is benched or a coach is fired, the team often comes out the next week and looks pretty good. Like Andy Dalton and the Panthers had a good win a few weeks ago when he got into the lineup. So I would think that the Jets offense might start looking better. The problem with the Jets right now is their offense. Aaron Rodgers and the offense have not played well in any game other than against the Patriots. He threw three picks last week against the Vikings. And so I don't know how firing the defensive coach fixes any of their issues, that being Robert Saleh, of course.
Yeah.
It's got to be Aaron Rodgers. He's got to pick up his play. He and the offense need to get on the same page. Aaron Rodgers hasn't thrown for 300 yards in 28 straight, which is kind of a remarkable stat. He's, you know, at his age 40, you have to wonder now, like – Is he trying to get rid of the ball too quickly because he doesn't want to take the hits anymore? You know, is he kind of a shell of his former self? It certainly looks from the outside like Aaron Rodgers and Woody Johnson spoke on Monday night. I don't know if Rodgers ordered the code red, but he made it clear that he wasn't thrilled with Saleh. I don't think Woody Johnson was thrilled with Robert Saleh either. Johnson probably read the room and decided to get rid of the coach without Aaron Rodgers explicitly asking for it. But Rodgers, with as much power as he has, he obviously could have stepped in and saved Saleh's job if he wanted to. But clearly, Rodgers runs the show there, and they've made the deal with the devil now. They have to go in with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
That's who they've decided is running their team now.
I crack up when he goes, oh, why does everybody think I have so much power on this team? I like you. Because you do. That's why. Hey, Ben, I got to ask you, the Bills are a mystery team to me. I looked at that group of receivers before the year, and I said, I just don't see it. You're asking this quarterback, Josh Allen, to do more than I think he can do. And all of a sudden, they look great. They pounded the Dolphins in the first game, but now 3-2, and the Jets actually have a chance to take a lead in the AFC East if they can win this game on Monday night. What's your take on the Buffalo Bills? Are they still clearly the best team in the East to you?
I think they probably are the best team. I don't know if it's clearly. I think they're probably the best team in the East. The thing about the Bills the last few years is they beat up on the bad teams, but they fall short against the good teams. It's kind of similar to what the Dolphins have going through, and you see it now with the Bills. They beat up on some teams early in the season. You know, obviously the Dolphins, I think, are a little better than what they showed in week two, but that was obviously a bad performance by the Dolphins. But then the last 2 weeks, the Bills play the Ravens and the Texans, and they lose both games. And if not for a big comeback in the fourth quarter, it would have been a blowout loss to the Texans last week. I'm not as worried about Josh Allen's receivers as I am just about the overall composition of the team and whether they have the toughness to beat some of these better teams and their ability to run the ball. Like in these games against the Ravens and the Texans, you have to be able to control the clock a little bit. And when Josh Allen's going 9 for 30, that's a big issue.
Weird. Yeah.
For the Bills. But, you know, the other thing with the Bills is this Josh Allen, the way he's escaped the concussion protocol is shocking to me. I mean, we all saw it at the end of last game. He slammed his head on the turf, looked like he briefly lost consciousness. He's in and out of the game in 5 minutes. He's not in the protocol this week. I'm shocked that isn't dealing with some of the fallout here. And I think there needs to be more, an investigation into what happened, because Josh Allen, by all accounts, really should have gotten a more thorough concussion check than he did. And it really felt like the Bills were playing loose with the rules last week.
Hey, Ben, if that would have happened down here in a Dolphins game, that guy would be out 2 weeks with that hit, not just one, any of our guys. We down here, it's a little different situation because of Tua's concussions. I agree. I know a lot of people are going, what's going on? How the hell did he basically, miss a play and then come right back in? And I go, because he went in that and go, hurry up, guys. I got to get back out on the field. This is ridiculous. I'm fine. And you know what I thought of? You remember when Edelman got the crap knocked out of him? Was that in the Super Bowl in the playoff game? And he was out of it, but he went in there and told those guys he's fine. What do you do if those guys lie when they go in there and the doctor's going through it? Are you fine? He goes, oh, yeah, hell yeah, I'm fine. I had to come in here because you asked me, can I get back out on the field, please?
Well, and that's the thing about the NFL concussion protocol, Joe, is it's supposed to take the decision out of the player's hands. There's supposed to be adults in the room, unaffiliated concussion spotter and team doctors. They're supposed to take Josh Allen, take his helmet, give him a full concussion evaluation. The seriousness of it, I know they, you can go into the blue tent now and do it, but Hardy slammed his head on the turf. He should have gone back into the locker room, into a quiet, dark place. They should have given him a full evaluation instead of the quickie drive-by, whatever they gave him, if they did give him anything in the tent. I understand the players want to get back out there, but they're supposed to protect the players from themselves, and the Bills and the NFL should have known better. And I think that there needs to be more looked into this, because Josh Allen, it really seemed like the Bills and the NFL really fumbled this opportunity. Right?
Yeah, it doesn't look like we're running the same program everywhere. I don't disagree with that at all. Hey, Benny, it's great having you, man. Really appreciate you giving us a little teaser before. So how do you feel about when Tua comes back and the Dolphins getting this thing turned around from what you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, it's... It seems like Tua, I mean, he obviously wants to play, and his IR stint is going to be up after one more game. So, you know, this bye week certainly is helpful. I know the Dolphins are not saying anything definitively and are trying to slow play it, but I would think Tua wants to get back in the lineup as quickly as possible, and as long as he's not feeling any neurological effects, how do you keep him out? What's to say that he's going to be at any more risk now than he is in 3 weeks or a month from now or 4 months from now if he's not feeling any more symptoms? So if he's symptom free, I think he's going to want to play pretty soon. And I think the Dolphins will get back on track. I don't know if they're going to be Super Bowl contenders like they want to be, but I think they'll win some games and be competitive and get the offense clicking again and at least compete for, you know, one of the final wild card spots. I wasn't high on them entering the season because I don't think they did enough to improve a team that just has kind of fallen apart in December and January the last 2 years. But I think they're better than, obviously, you know, 32nd in scoring. And the offense is going to look a lot better when Tua does come back.
Yeah, the 12 points a game is just, that's not what you expected for sure. No matter who's playing quarterback, I didn't expect that. Hey, Ben, thank you. Great having you, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, you're the man, Joe.
All right, Ben Volen, senior NFL writer for the Boston Globe, joining us this morning. Talk a little bit about the AFC East, man. The AFC East, and by the way, he liked that game. He liked the things the Dolphins did with Tyler Huntley. Say, hey, man, they ran the ball. They got physical. Ran for same amount of yards they threw for. Playing with their third quarterback, pretty damn good. All right, hey, tell you what's damn good is Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. Boy, I'm telling you right now, whether you're a first-time home buyer looking to get the best rate possible, fixed rates in the fives with Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage right now. Matter of fact, self-employed, you've been declined by the banks? Don't worry. Michael Kotze's got a great program for you as well. And I want to tell you about the reverse mortgages. There's a lot of people getting ready to retire in their 60s right now that are eligible. If you're 62 or older, you qualify for the reverse mortgage. Is a great opportunity, especially if you paid your home off or almost paid it off, to get all that equity out of your home, have it, still have a place to live. Hey, Michael Kotze does them faster than anybody. One of his many specialties is the reverse mortgage. He can do it all for you, get it done in half the time of the big banks. This guy works, man. People go, what makes Michael Kotze a Choice Mortgage in his 35 years of experience so successful? And I said, he works 7 days a week. The guy is always working, man. He has no life. He really doesn't. His wife even said, you have no life. You really don't. You don't have a life, Michael Kotze. And he finally listened one day. Call or text him and find out for yourself. 561-441-2730. That's 561-441-2730. MLS 166254. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender.
All right, it is time for your weather, brought to you by the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm, your accident attorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. 75 degrees, partly cloudy. Looks like a little rain after 2 o'clock. Hopefully everyone can make it to work here today, Joe.
Well, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Thank you. We're,
nice day
we're
yesterday.
Back. We're back to, oh, my God. What a day that we're supposed to have, like, wind in the morning and rain. And it was just... nice day. A lot of people had it off. I hope they enjoyed it, but end up being a nice day.
Get the kids back to school, hopefully.
The kids are back in school today, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, everybody's
public
back.
Schools are, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. Get everybody back. Hey, by the way, we've got Mike Florio going to join us from Pro Football Talk here coming up 9 o'clock hour. We'll have him and talk about everything. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. So the Canes... get to sit back and most likely going to move up a spot or two, according to what happens with some of these really good college football games we've got coming up this weekend, including Oregon and Ohio State, 2-3. And so we'll see what happens with that. But next weekend, University of Miami is at Louisville, and at 12 o'clock start, good start. Perfect time, like the early start, but it's against a really good opponent. I know they've lost some games. They just lost to SMU and Notre Dame, right? If I'm not mistaken, their two losses
yes.
are those two. And why do I think this is going to be another really tight ball game?
Because it is, and Miami's got a lot of stuff to clean up, man. Those last two games are real dicey, and if they do what they did against Cal, they go down by 2-3 touchdowns at Louisville. I'm not so sure you climb out of that one as easily, Joe.
So let me ask you. So we talked to Mario about this. Is it more about missed tackles? They're missing a ton of tackles the last 2 weeks. Is it more about coverage, or is it about mental mistakes? Because to give up four plays over 50 yards to Cal Berkeley.
I like how you say it's your school, and you say it so like.
No, they got a good team. I mean, they play. Yeah, they're going to play a lot of team stuff. Nothing wrong with them.
Well, clearly they were a different team in the second half. They were playing a lot more tentative in the second half of that game.
Yeah, reality kicked in.
I think some of those interceptions or some of the turnovers are just crushers, man. Like when Cam's rolling out, he throws across his body, throws it across the field, and I mean those especially on the road, man. Those turnovers are rough.
He is not going to change the way he plays.
No, I know.
He is going to roll out and throw behind him, throw in the middle of the field.
He's done that a couple times this season.
He'll force it from time to time to Restrepo because he's damn good at what he does. Restrepo's as good a receiver as there is. So he's going to force it in there because he feels comfortable throwing to him, and he's had great results throwing to him. But
they did against Virginia Tech, too. There were some big plays that they gave up in that game as well.
The difference for you and I is this, whether they have a – I know everybody would like to see more of a running game. I'm not worried about the offense. And by the way, I throw in a turnover, too, because I think they're not going to stop. But I don't think they worry about it because they are so good offensively. I worry about defensively what they've done the last couple weeks, Woody.
They've been chewed up on some deep plays. Teams are able to run against them.
The big plays,
yeah.
Athletic quarterbacks have hurt them the last.
That one kid on Virginia Tech, their running back, was pretty good, but he was running all over the place.
I just
look, man, you just can't go. I mean, if they go down, what were they down 35-10?
Well, you can't do that.
You go down three touchdowns to Louisville on the road. I don't imagine you come back, Joe.
That's going to be. You just can't do this every week. And by the way, two great stories being able to do it in their first two ACC games and stay undefeated and stuff. But they've got to get some things cleaned up, which Mario talked to us about on Monday. They have a really talented team. It sounded like some of the backups that they're trying to rotate in are not playing at the level. He said they got to work on that. They got to get some more guys to catch up quickly. So they can continue to play a lot of bodies in there and keep guys fresh. But, and by the way, Cam Ward is still having a great year. I know we just talked, you mentioned his pick six that he really thought that was going to be it. Matter of fact, I think a lot of people, when he threw that pick six, thought that's ball game.
Yeah, I think a lot of TVs
that was
turned
it.
Off.
That was like click. He doesn't have it. And then you miss one of the great shows of of what he did from the rest of the way after that. And so he's...
Look, man, there's no reason Miami should lose a game this season.
I don't know.
There just isn't.
Just throw that out there.
Joe,
like
you looked at the rest of the schedule. Is there a team that they're going to play that you don't think they're a significantly better team?
I just think
Miami's better than all the rest of the teams on that schedule.
They are better than everybody else on their schedule. But...
But that being said, you take bad penalties, you take...
All that stuff comes into play. All that stuff comes into play in football. So it's not always about, like, you know, you see our teams go, I know we're better than they are. Yeah, but you turned it over three times. You were 2-for-10 on third down, and you gave up a special team score, and there's a lot of things happening. You go, that's how we lost.
You gotten a little help from the officials last couple of games as well.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you got the targeting situation. You had the thing with Virginia Tech at the end of the game. So things have gone your way, but you got to, you know, at some point you got to put these teams away and control, you know, what you control here.
Yeah.
But that's a tough trip, by the way, at Louisville. That's not an easy one. And I don't imagine that game will be any sort of blowout.
No. Well, Louisville, I was shocked SMU beat them. Didn't they beat them at Louisville? If I'm not mistaken, that game was at Louisville, too. So that's, yeah. So anyway, we will see what happens with the schedules coming up here. But we got some great games, and we'll be talking about those games coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll get into some of these great games that we have, both college and pro games coming up here this weekend. And then on top of everything else, the Miami Dolphins have the bye week, and then back with either Tyler or Skyler for the Colts. We know that. We know that for sure. At the Colts, at Indianapolis. And then we can sit here and guess. I'm guessing there's a really, really good chance. I'll continue to say that Tua is going to be back for Arizona. And I know apparently he's still talking to doctors or talked to more doctors this week and everything. But don't you feel like Tua's probably thrown a little bit already? And don't you feel like he's already getting himself ready to go for that Arizona game? He's got 11 games that he can start. If he can stay healthy and gets a start against Arizona, he would have the last 11 games. And that's why it'd be so important to get this game and go 3-3 and flip it back to him at home and see if you can't hit the whole thing on. And by the way, you got to find a way to get this offense, the big pass play. The running game looked good against New England. It did. It looked really good. Ran for almost 200 yards. But you got to be able to get those guys on the outside that you paid a lot of money to this year. We got to get them going. Mm-hmm. And it just can't be 8, 9, 10 yards a catch. It's got to be down the field.
I don't think just adding Tua into the lineup makes this thing, you know, dramatically better all of a sudden. Like, I do think this team has some problems. I think they got to get a little more creative with the play calling. They got to mix things up a little bit, man, because what they're doing just isn't working. Right, and they're not the only team out there playing with a backup quarterback, so.
Backup quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, wherever they're at. And I imagine Skyler will start the next game. We were going back and forth on that. People were texting in. And I know, look, man, I don't. Skyler's very disappointing. There's no question about it.
So who's everybody want to start? Right.
I think people are all over. First of all, man, neither one's a great choice, right?
Well, one guy just got here. The other guy's been here for 3 years. Yeah. That's a disappointing
part. I imagine that whatever we want, whatever we think, doesn't matter. I think they would go with Skyler if he's healthy. I can't imagine they wouldn't.
So I think, didn't Mike come out and say when he's able to play?
Well, yeah, of course.
He's our guy. He didn't lose his second position or now starting position. So I thought about that after you said it, because I'm not so sure I'd start him. But he's
really
already.
So yeah. If you were coaching the team, you roll with the guy that played last week.
Yeah, because I think he did get better and stuff. I think he can do more things. Yeah, he threw for 190 yards.
Awesome.
What's the other guy done?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
He looked lost. Everybody trying to be nice about this. That was terrible. That was terrible for your backup guy that you said, that's going to be our backup. We can win with him.
Yeah, they did.
He looked better as a rookie than he did in that game.
And that's why he's got to look better out there. But I still think you go with the guy who's been
backup. No, you might be right. You're probably right. No, you're probably right. They feel they can run more of the offense with him because he has been around for 3 years. And so you're probably right. You're probably right. He will most likely get it. Now have that extra week, have this week off to get those ribs a little healthier. So you might be onto something. You might be on something. But whoever it is, they put together a great performance here and try to get back to 3-3. That 2-4 just doesn't sound great. All right, we've got more stuff to get to. We'll take a look at all the games coming up this weekend. We'll have Mike Florio join us. Got a lot more to get to right now, though. I want to tell you about Baptist Health South Florida. People ask me every day, where do the pros go when they get injured? I go, well, enter Miami, the Miami Heat, the Florida Panthers, and the Miami Dolphins. All trust the sports medicine program at Baptist Health South Florida, one of the best in the country. Yeah, one of the best in the country. When you start looking at the team doctors, the top specialists that they've hired to do nothing but take care of athletes, high school, college, and professional athletes, not just here in South Florida, but from all over the country, and all of our injuries, all our sports injuries. And let's be honest, if you're competitive in sports, team, and individual sports, one thing's for sure, as Mike McDaniel always says, everybody gets hurt. It's 100% chance sooner or later everyone gets hurt playing sports, and it's nice to have Baptist Health South Florida. When you talk about some of the specialists for knee, shoulder, foot and ankle, hand, back, hip and knee replacement, Achilles, they cover everything for you with these great doctors they've recruited from around the country to take care of any kind of sports injury you've had with great facilities, Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables, at Hard Rock Stadium right next to the practice facility, and also 595 in Pine Island in Plantation. We like to call that Dr. Swartzen territory up there. Visit BaptistHealth.net/ortho. One go every day. It's about getting you healthy, playing the sports you love the most. All right, Woody, let's jump on it a little bit around the National Football League.
All right, let's do it, Joe. We got another London game here. Jags.
I was going to say, Jacksonville hasn't been over there for a while, man. What's
Jags
going on
and
there?
Bears. It's a home game for the Bears, although I imagine there's a lot of Jag fans over there. But anyway.
Nobody plays over there more than Jacksonville.
That'll get your morning started at 9:30. Chicago favored by a single point. Over under 44.5.
I like Chicago big.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Jacksonville 1-4.
Yeah.
Their coach might be Peterson might be one of the first.
Well, he won't be the first.
Well, that's true. I'm sorry.
Can't
Robert
be the
Sala.
First.
Yeah. Maybe number two to get his papers here.
Boy, this Jets deal is weird.
I know.
So weird. And by the way, they're playing for first place. I know they've been bad offensively, but Monday night, crazy.
All right, 1 o'clockers here. Green Bay hosting the Cardinals. Green Bay's 3-2. The Cardinals are 2-3. Packers favored by 4.5. Total 47.5.
I got to go Green Bay.
They look pretty good, right?
Yeah.
And we got Green the Bay. Cardinals coming up here soon. Titans and Colts. Colts get an easier one here. Before they get to us, but Tennessee's actually favored in this game by 2.5 points, total at 42.5. It's in Nashville, whatever that matters to you. Should be a real fun game regardless, right?
Do I go? Oh, man, I could see that game going either way.
Okay.
Colts. I'll take the Colts.
Colts. Pats and Texans in Foxborough. Houston's favored by 6.5 points, a total of 37.5. Does Houston score that on their own?
I'm guessing Houston big.
I would think.
Yeah,
I would think. All right, the Saints and Bucks in New Orleans. Tampa Bay is favored by 3.5 points. The Bucks are 3-2. The Saints are 2-3. The total's 41.5.
Yeah.
No Derek Carr though.
Like Tampa Bay.
I would think so, right?
Yeah. Their starting a rookie quarterback.
After,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you would think. All right, Eagles and Browns. Huge spread here, 9.5. The game's in Philly. Eagles trying to get back over 500, total 42.5.
Yeah, then Eagles got to finally get something going. They've been bad.
They have been bad. That's a big number to cover, though. That's the problem. 9.5 is a big number to cover.
It is a big number.
The Browns are really bad.
They are really bad. That's a lot of points for an NFL game, though. Good.
You like
God.
The Browns? A little sneaky,
no,
sneaky
I don't.
Browns?
I
no?
can't. I no. They'll break your heart.
One of the games of the week here, Ravens and Commanders, 1 o'clock from Baltimore, total 51.5. This is an interesting spread here, Joe. Baltimore is favored by 7 points, by a full touchdown and an extra point.
Oh, boy.
Basically what they're asking is, are the Commanders for real? That's what we're going to find out here.
Last time I went all in on Baltimore, Kansas City.
Washington is not Kansas City.
I know. All right, I'll go Baltimore. Look at you.
Really?
You're manipulating me.
I'm just saying that's basically what we're going to find out here, right? We're going to find out if the Commanders go on the road and beat a real, like, Super Bowl contender team here.
Well, that would be this week if they do it.
All right, that'll wrap up the 1 o'clock games. We move to the 4 o'clock games, Broncos and Chargers. The Broncos have been pretty good at 3-2. Chargers at 2-2. I know Justin Herbert's all banged up. Chargers are still favored by 3 points in Denver with a total of 35.5. The Denver defense is pretty good, though.
I like the Broncos.
Me too.
That guy's a hell of a coach, by the way. I know he's Peyton, a weird dude. Yeah. People don't
Bounty
like
Gate,
him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Raiders and Steelers. Vegas is 2-3. They're starting a new quarterback. Gardner Minshew's got benched over there. Aiden O'Connell. Devontae Adams.
Yeah, we've seen that show. We've seen this show before.
Yeah, Devontae
Adams. The O'Connell
Adams,
show.
Basically hung it up there and said no more for
me.
Yeah,
that doesn't help. Because now it starts, is he really hurt or not? And is he
I don't imagine he is. Pittsburgh is favored by 3. Total 36.5.
I'm going Pittsburgh.
Vegas.
Yeah, okay. I'm going Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good game here, 425. I'm guessing this is the Brady game here. Cowboys and Lions. Detroit favored by 3 in Arlington, a total of 52.5.
I like the Lions big.
I think the Lions are a better team
overall.
I agree
with you on
that one.
Yeah.
The Panthers and the Falcons, another 425 game here. Atlanta favored by 6 in Charlotte, total 46.5.
Atlanta.
I agree with you.
I would never trust Carolina.
No, I wouldn't either.
Not yet.
All right, and then Sunday night, Giants and Bengals from New Jersey.
Oh, man.
These teams, Joe, listen to these records. The Bengals actually have a worse record than the Giants.
I know.
Are 1-4.
Cincinnati's been scoring a lot of points, though.
Cincinnati is favored by 3.5 points. Any thoughts?
Cincinnati.
I agree with you.
I don't feel great about it, but Cincinnati.
Either.
Go ahead.
I don't either. Can I get you a couple college games?
Yeah.
So we have some time here. All right. Starting at noon, Bama trying to bounce back. They host South Carolina. Bama is favored by 21.
Ooh, man, that's a lot of points. Good God.
I can't get
a read on this Bama team.
Bama big in that one, right?
All right. Go ahead.
All right. How about Clemson going on the road to take on Wake Forest? Clemson's favored by 20.5.
Clemson's been on a roll, man, since getting their ass kicked by Georgia. They've played really well.
All right.
Just no transfer portal. Things work.
3:30, the Red River Rivalry. That's a tongue twister. Number 1, Texas. Number 18, Oklahoma. Texas is favored by 14.5 points. The game's in Dallas.
Yeah, Texas big.
The Cotton Bowl.
Texas big.
All right. Penn State, number 4, taking the trip out west to the Coliseum to take on USC at 3:30. Penn State is favored by 3.5. Penn State is 5-0. USC is 3-2.
Yeah.
And USC also 1-2 in Big Ten play. They're in the Big Ten.
Ooh, that's a tough game, man.
Tough trip. Time zones, all that.
Oh, you in the time zone.
It's a tough trip. I think USC could get them there.
Yeah, they can, but
that spread, by the way, lead you to believe they USC probably going to have a good chance to win that game.
I'm going to go Penn State.
All right.
I switched. I never do that to the old Pac-12 schools.
Because you think Penn State would be favored by a little more than 3.5 on the road against a 2-loss team.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, we keep it moving here. Notre Dame, Stanford, South Bend. Notre Dame favored by 22.5.
Yeah, Notre Dame big.
All right, undefeated ACC team here, Joe. Number 22, Pittsburgh. Hosting Cal, Pitt favored by just 3.
Oh, Pitt's going to.
You think?
Yeah, going to get physical with him. Pitt's going to get
Cal's going to be desperate.
By the way, what a nice story, man. Pitt's undefeated.
Yeah. Nice to see them take a loss there, to be quite honest with you. Let's see here. Any others that are intriguing? How about Georgia, number 5, Georgia and Mississippi State. Georgia favored by 34 points.
Yeah, Georgia's really good. That's a lot of points. Good God, I hate those spreads.
I know.
Hey, you start talking 4 or 5 touchdowns, Woody. It's crazy.
All right, here's a 2-touchdown spread for you. Number 8, Tennessee hosting the Gators. The Gators are all of a sudden at 3-2.
Yeah.
A whole heck of a lot better than anyone thought
they'd
be.
Oh, this would be a good one.
Tennessee's favored by 14.5. Can the Gators go in there and get a win? That would be a monster win for them.
Monster win. Big.
They'd be 2-1 in SEC play. They got to win
there. I don't think they can beat Tennessee.
Okay.
But they are playing better.
7:30 on the Peacock. You got number 2, Ohio State, hitting the road. About 3 time zones over to take on number 3, Oregon. Both teams are 5-0. Ohio State is favored by 3.
Oh, Ohio State.
Really?
Yeah.
Even through the travel, the time zones?
Ohio State. Yeah. Oregon's been in some tight ball games out there.
Yeah.
They've not exactly hammering people every week.
All right, at 7:30, number 13, LSU, hosting number 9, Ole Miss. Both teams with 1 loss. Ole Miss favored by 3.5.
Oh, man. That's a tough one. Jeez, that's a tough one. Ole Miss.
All right, and then if you're up late, Colorado. This is a weird spread, by the way. Colorado is hosting number 18, Kansas State. Both teams are 4-1.
Sounds like a good game.
Colorado's 2-0 in the Big 12. Kansas State's 1-1 in the Big 12. Kansas State's favored by 3.5.
Yeah.
Colorado's turned back into kind of must-see TV, right?
They've been good.
Game's at 10:15 at night.
No shot to see it.
Be a night owl there.
Yeah. Thoughts? I'm going to go Colorado.
All right. Fair enough. And then
I have. By the way, don't if you're listening to us,
don't.
I don't
yeah,
feel
don't
good
go
about
whatever
these.
Joe
I don't
says.
Want somebody
yeah.
going. I took all your picks and I lost $1,000 or something.
Yeah, don't
do that.
If anything, go the opposite.
I got to get out of this business. We got to come up with something else. This.
All right.
I suck at this.
I got to go baseball here with you, Joe. Dodgers and Padres game 5 tonight.
Well, I can't root for the Dodgers. I just can't root for
them. San Diego are the underdogs here tonight at plus 120. The Dodgers are at minus 145.
Looks I'm like, with San Diego.
Darvish taking on Yamamoto looks like
doesn't
the
matter.
Matchup tonight.
This, I can't root for Dodgers.
So you're going to San Diego.
Oh, I was a little kid.
Right.
It was the first team I learned to dislike.
And then Saturday, we got another game 5. Guardians will host the Tigers. Detroit, slight favorites at minus 125. Cleveland plus 105. Who do you like there?
I like the Tigers, man.
Really?
Tigers.
Go into
nice
Cleveland
story.
And get the win
I
on
want
the road?
The Tigers.
Gutsy. I like it.
Not that I know anything.
That baseball game tonight is going to be a lot of fun.
Well, if there's some bad blood again, like guy strikes out and the guy's telling him to get your ass in the dugout, you struck out, and they're throwing F-bombs at each other, and then Manny throws a ball into the dugout. Oh, it's beautiful.
The real question is, for the betting public, does Ohtani get one tonight? Does he get a hold of one?
Man,
he's due.
Not going to be shocked if it happens. He is something else, man. He's fun to watch. I'm glad we got the best show of the year right here, man. We got the best of Shohei Ohtani. And somebody's going to make, or two guys getting ready to make a lot of money off a damn ball. Not a bad way to go. We've got the 9 o'clock hour coming up. We'll be right back.